Say that we're glad to be here tonight and all this evening, and decided to have the regular service under the tent. We closed out the camp meeting on a Sunday, as you know, and I felt like that on a Friday night that we should come back under the tent and have a few services under the tent. So that's why we're here tonight. I hope you're enjoying the services, and I'm glad to see you here tonight. Some people didn't get to come to the camp meeting, and they were asking why we didn't go on, you know. But I didn't feel to go on. I felt like it was supposed to be done this way. Going over to Hebrews 11, if you've got your Bible. 11th chapter, first verse. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And going to Hebrews 11, 5. And Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Then he goes on to say, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you can be seated. Now, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit tonight concerning faith. We always talk about faith as to deliverance, faith to healing, and a lot of times we don't even know what we're saying or what we're listening to as to deliverance. All we know when we talk about deliverance that somebody got healed or somebody got a better deal or a better job or you're going to have more money or you're going to do better and all these kind of things. But that's not really deliverance. That's just a partial thing of the blessings of God that points you to deliverance. You're not really delivered until you come out of this world of sin and until you find the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, when it comes to deliverance, there is nothing less than a world of difference. And so then the great tent cathedrals that go around the world preaching deliverance, it's just, as I say, it's just something that God is using for bait to attract your attention, to get you to see His love and His kindness as He tries to deal with your natural body and giving you healing and giving you prosperity and giving you things that pertain to this life. But folks, deliverance is when God delivers your soul from death and delivers your spirit out of the bondage of your human being, which is your fleshly body. And when He translates it into the marvelous kingdom of God and brings you to the understanding, the glorious understanding of Almighty God, bringing you the wonderful revelation of the Son of God that God gave unto Jesus Christ to show unto us, and bringing you this wonderful revelated truth as to the dimensional depths that will bring you into the spirit world. And you know, this is hard for us to get a hold of, and I hope I could just kind of talk to you a little bit tonight. That's what Jesus would do if He was here. And He is here tonight. So when we think about this, we need to understand that there is another world. That this world that you're living in is not the ultimatum of God's work. And it's not the ultimatum of God's creation. It's not the ultimatum of God's goal. But to the contrary, it's only a shadow of those things that are to come. It's just a shadow of those things that are to come. And living in this world and being contented in this world, that ye should remain in this world and do the things of this life is only a great deception. And when you are contented just to be prosperous and have the things of this life and have a complacency in your life, it means that you have been deranged in your understanding and you are exiled and you are in a bad condition. You are in a bad way. It doesn't matter if you belong to a church and go to church and do all the things that they do in church, shout, speak in tongue, maybe the gifts sometimes work in your life, or if you are one that gives a lot of money to the church, helps support the cause, that still doesn't have anything to do with it. See, there is another world. This world that you're living in is nothing but lying vanities. That's hard for you to get a hold of, because someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if it's lying vanities, it don't look like lying vanities to me. I see people around me. I see trees. I see houses. I see things all around me, and I don't see how it's lying vanities. But then on the other hand, we have to acknowledge that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he did walk right through the walls, didn't he? He did walk right through the doors. How did he do that if it isn't a lying vanities? Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, that's because he didn't have a natural body like we've got. It's true that we go down as a natural body, we come up as a spiritual body. But in this particular instance, Jesus was resurrected with his bone and with his flesh so that it could be a true resurrection. So then when Jesus went down, he went down as a human body. When he came up as a human body. And when he came up, he still was a human body. And when he appeared to Thomas, after Thomas doubting the way he did, he said, put your hands in the nail prints and don't be faithless, Thomas. They said, it is a spirit. He said, oh no. A spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. So then we know there is a real, genuine Son of God. And as I say in the fourth chapter of John, he said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit. So then we know there's a difference between the Son of God and God, and that God, the great Father, is a spirit. There is a Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so there is a Father, a spirit, and there is a Son, which is flesh and bones, just like you are, made in the image of you. So then, and with this wonderful Holy Ghost truth as to the Spirit of truth, you know, it's real easy to understand that there is a real Godhead that we don't understand unless God reveals it to us. And that's why there is so much problem about it in the world today. But the thing I'm getting at is that Jesus was a body. He was a natural body, and yet he walked through a natural wall. He was a body. He was bones. He was flesh. And he walked through a wall. Now, so then being a body and walking through the wall, then that means there's something that you don't understand. Somebody would say, oh, but I understand, Brother Pike. Well, then walk through the wall. How is it that he walked through the wall and you can't walk through the wall? Evidently, he understood something that you don't understand. Because scientists have never come to where they can walk through the wall. If they're so brilliant and they understand all things, why can't they walk through the wall? You know, like a vision I had one time. And in this vision, I looked. I had gone up a flight of stairs, and I was way up the stairs. It was a long flight of stairs. And standing up there on a certain level, I turned. And when I turned and looked at the wall, all of a sudden, the wall come alive. And I looked, and when the wall come alive, it was people. All in the wall, and horses, all kind of things. And I was standing there talking to somebody. And I won't tell the vision. I've told it before. It's on tape somewhere. But anyway, I was standing there, and I thought, my, you know, we can walk right through the wall. And that's what God is wanting us to do today. He's wanting us to realize that there is a wall of iniquity and a wall of resistance, and we've got to walk through the wall. How can I get through the wall? I've got to get through the wall. Somebody would say, well, this is foreign, Brother Pike. This doesn't move me. It doesn't stimulate me. I don't feel any quickening. I don't feel any activation to this. This just doesn't do the job for me. This doesn't turn me on. I know it doesn't. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It wasn't made to turn you on. It wasn't made to bring you out or to draw you out, as the world says. It wasn't made for that. This was given just to the saints of God. This is made for the saints of God, and this is what Jesus was trying to tell the disciples when they said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? He said, for it is not given unto them to know what I'm saying. I don't intend for them to know what I'm saying. It's not given unto them to know what I'm saying. This isn't given, as the world says, to turn them on. I don't want them turned on. This is given strictly to you. that you might understand the mysteries of God. For it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of God, but unto you it's given that ye should know the mysteries of God. And this is what we're talking about. Paul, I have a mystery. I have a great mystery. Go tell my people about this wonderful mystery. This is the mystery of godliness. And great is the mystery of godliness, Paul. And it's not given to the world. Ball games is given to the world. Races is given to the world. All this thing of Olympics and making money and business and eating and drinking and education and diplomacies and all the things of life, this is given to the world that they might have that of Esau. Because it is Esau's land, it is Esau's world, and Esau has everything in the world. But he says to Jacob, he said, you pass through the land of Esau. Don't you touch anything they've got. He said, he told him it was unclean. There's a curse on it. Don't you bother with that. Even in the days of the battle over there, when Achan went in there and took that golden wedge, look at the trouble it caused Israel. It caused many of them to get killed. See, God's policy was that they would go to battle and not lose one man. There would be not one home that would be mourning and crying after the battle. Every soldier would return. See, not one would lose a dad or a mother lose a son. That was God's way of doing it. But when they partook of the cursed things, then God, he cannot look on iniquity. He had to withdraw from them. And withdrawing from them, that meant that then they were in the wrath of God, and the wrath of God abided upon them. That's why the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because it's by faith in God that we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, or by faith in God that we're justified and sanctified and set apart as that which is a peculiar treasure to God in the earth. So then we automatically know that there is something for the church that is not given to the world. All the great tent deliverance and all these great things of radio programs and television programs, and we've had privilege to have part in these kind of things, but all of these things, all of the great churches, all the great masses, all the great coming together, that's not the answer to it. That's only the love of God being poured out as to the abundance of His grace, where the rain is on the tare and on the wheat, to woo, to give people a chance to get their eyes open enough to where they can see the love of God. But the Bible said the love of God constraineth us. Surely the love of God constraineth us, and it leadeth us to repentance. So then this is all that's for. But with the millions of people around the world coming to God and making confessions, it doesn't mean a thing, because out of the millions, there is a little flock. Out of the millions, there's few that will ever find this great mystery and find the Word of God. And so then Enoch, the Bible said, the heavens declare his handiwork. And then the Bible said all of the earth is full of the knowledge of God. And when we look around, someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see the knowledge of God. But when I look around, I see the knowledge of God everywhere. When I look into the heavens, I see the knowledge of God. The stars speak to me. The moon speaks to me. Every blade of grass. Isn't that amazing? Every blade of grass speaks to me. Everything around me speaks to me. And I see the knowledge of God. And I think, my, this is just so phenomenal. This is awesome. And here it is. It's been here all the time. And it's speaking to the people like in the days of Enoch, when there wasn't even scribblings or scribes, as we say. Wasn't anything written. And yet, by faith in God, of what the heavens declared and the earth revealed to Enoch, he was translated by faith in God and translated that he might never die. So Paul brings this out. He brings it all the way from the Old Testament over to the New Testament and the book of Hebrews, where he speaks of faith and the great act of faith. And he tells us that with this, it's impossible to please God without faith, because there's no justification without faith. We are not justified. I might count beads. I might pray. I might fast. I might preach. I might go to church. I might give in the offering. I might do all these things. But when I get through with all that I do, I might shout, I might speak in tongues, I might do any kind of thing. But unless I have faith in God, there is no cleansing of my heart. There is no sanctification of my life. There's no purification in me, and there's no justification from God. Being therefore freely justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, or by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. So then we are justified by faith, delivered. Christ was delivered for our offenses. He was bruised for my transgression. He went to Calvary so that I would not have to go to Calvary. He died so that I would not have to die. He went into hell so I would not have to go into hell. Being bruised so I would not have to hang there at the whipping post, and being bruised so I would have peace through my lifetime, and then resurrected from the dead that I might be justified in the sight of God, to say now that He is resurrected from the dead, there is no more wrath from God. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only for today, but this is forever. As in Adam, all die because of sin, and every man is under the penalty of sin. So then in Jesus Christ, all are made alive by the Christ that resurrected from the dead. And today, we that believe in Christ Jesus are forever alive, and from here throughout eternity, we can never be spotted, we can never sin, we can never have a blemish. We are a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. God has so fixed it to where there's not one thing that anybody can lay to the charge of God's elect. I don't care what you come up with. I don't care how you feel about God's people. I don't care what you think about God's people. When you finish with all of your gossip, all of your backbiting, all of your talking, all of the things that you try to conjure up in your mind, you can't find one tiny thing that He will receive. So then they are God's people. They are perfect. They are justified. They are sanctified. They are alive forever. They have resurrected from the dead. They've been by the whipping post. They walk through the chambers of hell. And the Bible says that this garment that we have is the body and bone of His flesh that has been tried in hell. It's a garment that we have put on through being baptized into Christ. And the Bible teaches that this is the wedding garment. And this will stand the fire, and it will be throughout eternity that we will be one with Christ Jesus. So there's no one that can lay any charge to us whatsoever. We are sanctified, predestinated, glorified. We are alive forevermore. We are in heaven. We are they that dwell in heaven. We sat in heaven. We sing in heaven. We walk in heaven. All of our conversations in heaven. We lay up our treasures in heaven. We are heavenly creatures. We are new creatures. We are resurrected from the dead. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new to us. And we are a new creature in Christ. And no remembrance of former things against us as anything that we've ever done in all of our life. We are completely spotless. All the days of our life. So then this is the church. But this is a great mystery. How can that be? When you stumble and when you stagger and when you're full of mistakes, when you're always having problems and you can't seem to keep your balance, how can this be? It is a great mystery. But God has done it all, and if we had time from time to time in tutoring you, we'd break it down and bring the detail of it, and every detail of it is just perfect. It shows everything just perfect. God is so set in order that you can't get a hair in between these wonderful scriptures. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, and everything fits together just like a glove. So then Enoch was translated by faith. How was he translated by faith? Because faith sanctifies. Faith justifies. The justification of God is by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, faith in Jesus Christ. I'm not justified by my believing, and you're not justified by your believing. If you're justified by your believing, then that means the whole world can be justified in the sight of God. If you're justified by your believing, then that means the devil is justified, because if you believe there's one God, the Bible says the devil believes also, and he trembles when he thinks about it. So then that would mean that the devil was also justified. But see, we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. The Bible said the faith of Jesus Christ, which is the righteousness of God. And the Bible says, as in Paul, when Paul spoke of this being a Jew, he said the schoolmaster was the law. And the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto this faith that later should be revealed. And when the time of the promise drew nigh, as to Jesus Christ being the promised seed, the promise that was given to Abraham that through his seed all nations should be blessed. When this time come, God gathered all things in heaven and all things in the earth into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the fullness of time, he sent forth his son made of a woman and made under the law. And then the faith of Jesus Christ came. And when the faith of Jesus Christ came, it justified us in the sight of God, because we are children of God. And Jesus said, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Because my faith takes hold of his faith, or my believing in what he did comes to me through my believing in that he wrought this thing in the Father, as to the spiritual Father of heaven and of earth. He wrought this thing in the Father by his faith and by his sacrifice. And it was his lifetime to where there was never a waver. There was never a mistake. It was his faith that went out to God. And it was his faith that God accepted in your behalf. And today it is called the righteousness of God. And since Calvary came, that faith has come. And we don't need the law anymore. When people come trying to tell you that you got to live by the law, the Bible said they're heretics. That is, they're full of heresy. And admonish them once or twice, trying to tell them the truth. And if they don't listen at them, reject them and go on your way. There is no law to the children of God. There is no law to the children of God. If there was a law to the children of God, then we could sin. And if we could sin, then we could die. Because transgression of the law is sin. And where there's a law, there's always transgression. Because the Bible said, no flesh shall be justified by the law. This is the dispute that Paul had with Peter. When Paul received the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he disputed with Peter and he said, I blame Peter to his face, because Peter was to be blamed, even though Peter had walked on the water, raised the dead, had the keys to the kingdom. Yet he said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Paul having the great mystery for the churches to the Gentiles. And he said, Peter, don't you know that if there had been a law that could have saved people, that God would never have sent his son to die? And Peter, getting afraid when certain ones come up from the house of James, he withdrew. He had been with the Gentiles. He had fellowshiped the Gentiles. And then when these others came up, he got afraid. You know, they'd turn you out of the synagogues. They'd beat you. They'd crucify you. He got afraid and he drawed back. And it upset Paul. And Paul said to the Galatian people, said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth of God, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was evidently set forth and crucified? And this I would learn of you. He said, having begun in the Spirit, receiving the things of the Spirit, where did you get the miracles? Did you get it by the law or by the hearing of faith? And said, having begun in the Spirit, are you so foolish to think that you're made perfect by some kind of a law or by the law? And he said, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God, for if there had been a law that could have saved man, then God would never have sent his son. And so then he had the dispute and blamed Peter, letting us know that there is no law to the people of God. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no death. That's why that I can say to you that we pass from death unto life. Because we cannot sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. This is where faith comes in. If the Word of God says I cannot sin, my faith in the Word of God makes me perfect. If the Word of God said the law is fulfilled, every jot and tittle, folded up and laid away, and I believe that, that's faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. And if I believe that, then my faith becomes the faith of Jesus Christ. And I believe that, and that means there's no law to me. And that means I can't sin. That means I can't transgress. And that means I can't die. So then we say, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? So we are they that dwell in heaven. Now, when I deal with you like this, the problem is that we are so carnally minded that we're still abiding in death in our thinking. See, to be carnally minded is death. The sentence of death is in the body, because it is said to Adam and Eve, the tree of knowledge thou shalt not eat thereof, and the day that ye eat thereof ye shall surely die. And though the devil said ye shall not surely die, being the father of a liar, working through the beast, yet they did die. And the sentence of death is still in the body today, and medical science will never change it, and your great scientific things of the world, science falsely so called, as to a knowledge that's ever learning and never coming to the real God knowledge or the truth, they will never change it. Somebody says, well, someday they'll get it to where you can't die. They will never conquer death. They will never change it. All of their efforts will be futile. They'll never be able to do it because they don't know how to do it. I know how to do it. And you that love God know how to do it, because this is the word of spirit, and this is the word of life, and this is the word of resurrection. And this is why that I pointed out to you the other night. I said, folks, I said, if you don't get the word, you don't have anything. If you can't walk in the word, you're not a Christian. Christ is the word. Christ was the word made flesh. He came to make you the word. And if you're going to be his bone and flesh, if you're going to be his bride, you're going to be the word. And if you don't think on the word, if you don't love the word, if you don't cast down every thought of your imagination, every ambition of your life, every desire that you have, and let this nature of Christ live in you and abound in you to make you the word, to meditate in this law day and night, to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, you can't be his body and you can't be his bride. It means that you don't have his nature. So then, faith in the word. When I come to preach to you, I preach the word. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. If these men had stood in my presence, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. They run. I didn't send them. He said they went. I didn't send them. They said, the Lord said, howbeit I've not spoken. So then, when they come, the one thing that you can always watch, they'll say, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord told me to do this. And the Lord told me to do this. And I'm to go over yonder. And I'm to be over here. And I'm to be this. And the Lord's directed me. And the Lord said, and this is the way it is. And the Lord said, for you, and for you, and for you, and for you. Always testifying of themselves. When a man testifieth of himself, his witness is not true. Let's give the Lord a hand. You can always tell them, because everything that they talk about is themselves. But folks, let me tell you something. When he comes that bears glad tidings of great joy that God has sent, it'll talk about the word. It'll talk about the word. It'll talk about the word. Jesus was the word. And he said, when the great Holy Spirit comes, he'll testify of me, which is the word. And he'll speak my word. He'll testify of God. He'll testify of Christ. He'll praise Christ in all that he's done. Praise the glory of God and bring it to you in a full strength of a full gospel. And he won't alter it. He won't change it. He won't move it into a charismatic way of life so that he can make allowance for the flesh in any manner. He'll kill the flesh. He'll put the flesh down. He'll mortify the deeds of the body. He'll turn away from everything of the world, because the world and all that is in the world is the pride of life, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. And the world and all that's in it will pass away. And I remind you again when I make this statement that you are not in the world. God has chosen you out of the world, and he's hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things. So you're not in the world. You're not of the world. You're not in the world. You're chosen out of the world. You're them that dwell in heaven. You've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. But when I come to this, the problem is that to be carnally minded is death, the sentence of death in the body. So the body will die. There is no religious preparations for the body. There is no conforming for the body. It doesn't matter what you do or what church you belong to, Pentecostal, Baptist, Catholic, whatever. It has nothing to do with it. There is no remedy for the body. There is no going to seminary to be a preacher. There is no doing whatever they tell you to do in church as to a social thing of society that will ever help you in the body. You are doomed for death. You've got the sentence of death in your body. You are a beast from your first of birth, and you have a spirit of lust on the inside of you, which is Lucifer, and under your lips is poison, and in your tongue is deceit, and you are corrupt. And there's no remedy for you except one thing, and that's death. You are the bastard child image. God hates your image, and you must die. And then when you die, then a new creature can come forth. And that new creature is Jesus Christ, the beginning of the creation of God for the new world. Adam was the one that God used as the figure of this to come, and in Adam all die, because through Adam's sins, all is guilty of transgression. Though Adam was not in the original transgression, and though Adam not being in the transgression was a figure of him to come with the illumination of the great light. But Eve being the body and bone and flesh of Adam, Adam was charged with it because it still was his body and still was his bone. It was a rib taken out of him to make her. And it was still him, in that he accepted what she said concerning the tree of knowledge and took her way instead of God's way. And so then in Adam all die, and you are dead in trespasses and sin while you live. Even the little episode that took place in the last few days concerning the weather, it shows us what's happening. I just talked to the Lord yesterday and I said, Lord, I want you to move this weather now. The Lord had dealt with me about the days of rain and the days of Elijah and the time when the great rain come. And I said the people have taken all that they can stand now, and they're pressed out of measure, and you've done your thing and you've done what you wanted to do, and you've shook them up to try to get them to snap to attention before this translation takes place or the real devastation comes. And now I want you to move it. And I said, our brethren also have to work some. They need work. And so then he did it. He said, I'll do it. So I told him, I said, God will move it. And today they gave the report that everything is coming to normal now. And one of the bridges is open up where it was closed up down around Albany. And different things is happening. God is emptying out the water. He's taking it back into the lakes. And the great siege is over. And the little rain that we have is pretty much normal now. See, God doing these things by faith. By faith. Everything's going to blossom out real good now. It's going to be look like a new earth with all the rain, like it was in the days of Noah when all the water fell and the new earth came in as to that day. So then it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be a real rise in the economic system of the world, because all the devastations of these things that's taking place is going to make jobs plentiful. And everything's going to be all right, even though there's still other things coming. Like tomorrow, we're supposed to see this thing concerning Jupiter. Maybe we won't see it, but they say that every telescope in the earth supposedly will be turned in that direction. Somewhere around 3 o'clock, maybe tomorrow even, this thing is supposed to come. Now, they said it could throw us into the Ice Age, take us back to the days of the dinosaurs. Back there before the creation of the world, you know, as to the creation of mankind. Back to the chlorophyll, back to the vertebra age, and back to the nebula mass and all these kind of things. Whereas to begin with, there was no such. It's a bunch of foolishness and philosophers that's having strong delusions, is going to college and getting diplomas for their ignorance. Pardon my expression. The Bible said ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. The Bible is the knowledge of the truth. So in this, there is no such thing as to that faraway dinosaur age. See, so that canceled that out to start with. And this that's going to happen tomorrow will not bring in an ice age. Won't be anything to that whatsoever. That's just a wild theory. The Word of God in Revelation shows it won't be nothing like that. And not only that, but some folks say, well, I could be the coming of the Lord. No, it won't be the coming of the Lord. Tomorrow when that thing happens, it'll have nothing to do with the coming of the Lord as far as you're seeing the heavens breaking, the Lord coming back. So I said, well, you don't know. Yeah, I just happen to know. It won't be that at all. See, first of all, you should know that God, when he gets ready to come back in the cloud, he isn't going to let you know nothing about it. He wouldn't dare let a thing like that happen to give you a warning so you could be ready, or the wicked could be ready He's going to do that. The Bible said, as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. The one thing about this thing that's happening tomorrow is a great phenomenal thing, and it does point to something spiritual, and it does have to do with the tribulation period. See, and the beginning of sorrows, the hour of temptation, these kind of things. But at the same time, you know, people of the world will have all of this under observation. They will closely observe these things. Not only will they closely observe them, but all of the church world will closely observe to see what's going to happen to Jupiter. I'll listen for just a minute. And they'll closely observe these things. Why will they do it? Because they get afraid. Why will they do it? They want to know what's happening in the world of today. Why? Because they're natural minded. And yet we're told that when these things as to the signs of the heavens happen, that it has to do with something spiritually. And see, why isn't the church world looking in the spirit to see what's happening in the spirit? The Bible said you walk in the spirit. You live in the spirit. Pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation. God is a spirit. You worship Him in spirit. So then, why don't they understand what's really happening? See, and if they were looking in the spirit, they would know for sure what's happening. Somebody says, well, if you know, tell us. I know, but I'm not going to tell you tonight. Now, if you know, that's good. You tell somebody else. See, but there's one thing about it. We definitely do know. Somebody says, well, you just don't know. Oh, yeah, the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. So that takes in that too. So when it comes to these things, it does have great significance. But why do we do the way we do as a natural people? See, the Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than the children of light. They observe those things. When things get out of balance up in the heavens, then they observe all of those things. But what about the spiritual people and the children of God? Why aren't they observing everything in their world of spirit? You know why? Because they're not walking in the spirit. They're not praying for the spirit of revelation. They're still in the carnal side of life. And you know why they don't get the mysteries? Because when we preach, it's not us talking, but God talking. And when God is speaking from within His temple, He is speaking about your innermost angelic being, which is called the second man, even the Lord from heaven. See, and He's speaking to you concerning spiritual things. And Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. And that's why they that are without don't understand what I'm saying. It's not given to them. If they were spiritually born, then they would understand it. But since they're naturally born, the Bible said they'll not see when good comes. They're blinded. Even their eyes of understanding is blinded by the intellectual conceit of their own wisdom and the tree of knowledge as to their natural learning, which is carnality, and it is iniquity, and it brought the death of Adam's seed, and Adam's seed is still dying. But in Jesus Christ, the quickening spirit, we that pass from death unto life, we that pass from the realms of the living soul that can sin over to the quickening spirit, to be born to the spirit, we do dwell in heaven. We are spiritual beings, and we are angelic beings on the inside dwelling in heaven with the angels, and the angels are encamped round about us to deliver them that fear God. And these things that are happening is happening in the spiritual world and in heaven. Our angelic being on the inside is equal to the angels, which the Bible said means that we cannot die. So when we listen at these things, we're so carnal. We eat, we drink, we ride, and we try to apply everything to our natural way of life. Because what we want is the natural world. And we want this gospel to be a natural thing. And we want it to do good for us here. Preach prosperity. Preach healing our body. Let us laugh. Let us talk. Let us enjoy the health here. Let us be perfect in body. We don't care about the spirit. You know, just let us have these things that are natural. Let me prosper. Let me have a new car. Let me go to church. Let me be under the tents. Let me shout. Let me have the gifts. Let me speak in tongues. Let me do all of these things. Let me be the man or the woman of the hour. Let me sing. Let me do something in the flesh. And this is where we miss it. First of all, it tells us that we should equip ourselves with the mind to suffer. That's why the Bible said, just be few that find it. Few that find it. Christ is revealed through suffering. The mortification of the body. Doing away with the body. Putting your foot on the head of the body. Suffering. And coming, staying under the body, bringing it into subjection. See, are there very many people going to follow that? No. No, they won't follow that. That's why the Jews tried to kill Paul. They didn't believe in that kind of thing. They believed in the feast. They believed in having those things at the upper seats of the synagogue. They believed they ought to be called of men rabbi. They liked the salutations in the marketplaces. Jesus told them so. They are fleshly. They're Esau's. They belong to the world. They've got their diplomacies. They've got all the things in the world. They want the securities. They want that good feeling. They want that stimulation of human relation. They're gullible in their desires for passion. Everything that they're doing centers around their body, their minds, their thoughts, as to their intellectual ego in the world. All of their exuberance is for the natural. To be something in the world, even if they get into religion, it's still to be something in the world and seen of somebody and be the main attraction in that is in the religious world. Be on television, have money, eat, drink, and be merry. See, but that's not the way it is. There is a people that are eternal. Jesus brought to light at Calvary immortality. All of these people that are going after these natural things religiously or otherwise, the Bible said they're nothing but vomit on my table. They're lukewarm and they're still in the flesh and still interested in the things of the flesh, the exuberance of the flesh. And he said they're just lukewarm. I've spewed them out of my mouth and it makes them vomit on my table. All of my tables, which means the religious field of activity. But he said there is a few, little flock. It's the kingdom of God. And these people are eternal. At Calvary, he brought to light, he unveiled immortality. And the Bible speaks of a body that's mortal and a body that's immortal. And you now can have immortality. But you have to have it by faith of this word and become a spiritual being and put this body down and separate yourself from the body. And that's why Jesus went to Calvary as to the rending of the veil when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And them being natural minded was confounded. They said it took years to build this temple. And the Bible said they understood not that he spake of his body, but after he was resurrected from the dead, the disciples realized that he was saying, destroy this body, in that the Bible says they went about seeking a way to destroy Jesus. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And when we look at it naturally, we see this veil as to the veil that was built between the place out here as covering the holy place, and it was rent as to the covering cherubs. We see that as to show the Ark of the Covenant. But in all reality, it meant that Christ Jesus, as recorded in the book of Acts, had made in himself two or twain. For the Bible said he made in himself two or made in himself twain. Both Lord and Christ, and the rending of the veil was to separate the Lord from the Christ or the body from the Spirit. He did not do that for himself. He did that for Brother Pike. He did that for you. Because you have the sentence of death in your body as being born of Adam, and he had to rend that veil right down the middle and take that body, which is the body of Adam, and take it to Calvary and die for you that it might be dead in the sight of God and buried in a watery grave to where God could never see that bastard child image again. He died out of the presence of God to completely put you out of the presence of God to where he'd never see you as a bastard child again. He rose from the dead with a new body that God might look on you as the new body, yielding your members as they that are alive from the dead, that have no more sin, that have no more problems, that have no more heartaches, that have no more sorrow, strictly by faith in what God said. Because in the body, there's plenty of sorrows. In this world, he said, you'll have trouble. But in the spirit, as in me, he said, you'll have peace and you'll have contentment. So then you're still in the natural, you're still carnal. Are you not yet carnal, Paul said? I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. But are you not yet carnal? He said there's jealousy, there's envy, there's strife. Said you're still envying people that have the things of the world, still trying to pattern your life after them, still wanting to watch the television on the side as to the non-virtuous thing, and these things that are in magazines and books and signboards and all of the games as to the Olympics and the things of the world. You're right hard down on it, the racetracks and whatever it might be, to eating and drinking and partying and parks and enjoying yourself and all of these kind of things. Are you not yet still carnal? And to be carnally minded is death. For Satan saveth the things that be of the flesh, because Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the God. Somebody says, oh no, Brother Pike, you misunderstand. God is the God of this world. Our Heavenly Father is the God of this world. No, you misunderstand. Satan is the God of this world. And he might be your father, but he isn't my father. This world is a world of lust. It's the world of vanity. Solomon said, all is vanity, vanity, and vexation of the spirit. And the whole world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And everything in the world is under the curse. And the world and all therein shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then there is a spirit world. There is a spirit man. There is a spiritual understanding. There's a spiritual mind. There's immortality. There's something that's going to break forth from within the Christian as to the day star coming over the horizon of their heart, going to penetrate this body. And when it penetrates this body, the great light of God is going to shine through, and to the configuration of this form, it's going to change into the wonderful, glorious image of Almighty God, or the Son of God, even as it was when the sun was shining within his strength at the end of the church ages when he stood in the midst of the candlesticks. So then there is a people that's getting ready. So I referred to this scripture tonight for this reason. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is meant by that? What is meant by, you go to court, they have an evidence. You don't see the evidence a lot of time, but they got some kind of evidence. This evidence, they have this evidence to prove the case. See, when you have faith, real, genuine faith, not just a human ego of believing, you have the proof that whatever is spiritual and whatever is eternal, whether it's immortality or riches or power or splendor or magnificence, even to the blessing of the natural health and the wealth of the world, you have the proof of it. See, it belongs to you, because with faith, say what you will, ask what you will, decree it in your heart, it'll come to pass. You're in command. You're in charge. You have power over all the powers of the enemy. And you have power over all flesh. And all things belong to you, because God has given us all things in Christ Jesus. So then that means that when we are carnal, we're abiding in death. When we're spiritual minded, we will meditate in His laws day and night. We will talk about heavenly things. We will have our mind on spiritual things. We will hunger and we will thirst after the Word and the spiritual things of God, because the Word is spirit and it's life. So this is why that we say the things that we say to you tonight. Or it still isn't night yet. We refer to this as night because it's evening service. But this evening, this is why that we come to you in the way we do, is just a little exhortation, exhorting you the more as we see the day approaching. Tomorrow, the calamity. What will it bring? Well, we'll all get a chance to see. But it has great spiritual significance, and I wish we had time just to elaborate on it, but we don't. Trying to get out just a little word tonight to make you stop and think. Faith is the substance. That is to say, if I have faith, whatever I want, the car, if I want it, that's the substance. The house is the substance. And health is the substance. And whatever I want, as to if it's money, that's the substance. Whatever it is, if it's food, that's the substance. But if I have faith, though I don't have those things, if I have faith that God has given me all those things, and I solemnly believe that He has given them to me, then I have the substance. It's the same if I had the car, the house, the health, whatever. When I got faith, I own it, every bit of it, and I can call for it anytime I want to, and it will be there. Because faith is the substance of the thing that you're desiring or the thing that you're hoping for. Faith is the substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. You already have the evidence that it belongs to you. It is the evidence of things unseen. If I had the title to a Cadillac, and I wanted the Cadillac, and I obtained the title to the Cadillac, I would have the Cadillac, because the law would see to it that I got it because I had the title. So it would be the evidence of things not seen. If you're looking for eternal life and you got faith, though you can't see it, then faith is the substance, the eternal substance of everlasting life. And it is the eternal life as to the evidence. It is the eternal evidence of eternal life, of immortality. So the immortality has been brought to light. Jesus brought to light at Calvary. And today that means understanding. and it's being preached to you down through the church ages, that you might, by the transformation of your mind, comprehend the heights, depth, width, and length of this great, wonderful mind of God as to the things of God, to come into the spirit world and do away with the natural world. You can love the natural world. You can love the things of the world. And if you have the love of the flesh or the world in you, then that means that you're not of God and you don't have the love of God. You don't have the kingdom of God, because Satan savors the things that be of the world. He is the god of this world. That means that though you love these things and though you follow after these things, you're still going to be disappointed, because all of them are going to be taken away from you because you're on death row and waiting your turn. And everything is terminal in this world. And though you get all of these things together, Solomon said, who knows but what you'll leave it to a fool. Because though you heap it together, then you're going to die and leave it. And somebody else is going to get it. And eventually all the generations is going to die. And nobody is going to have access to it except the children of God who did not seek after it. They're going to have all of it naturally, physically, and spiritually. So it's obvious that whoever lives the longest is the one that's going to own it, because the rest is going to die. And so we're going to live for eternity. So that means we're going to own everything. Let's give the Lord a hand. He said, then you will fold the others up like a garment, like an old garment, fold them up and lay them away. He said, but unto thee, O God, he said, the administration of Christ, as to thee, O God, thy throne is forever and forever, and thy scepter is one of righteousness. So we be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, as he is, so are we. If we overcome, we sit down in the throne with him, and whatever he is, so are we in him, and we're complete in him, and we're predestinated in him. And if you are predestinated unto righteousness, it will be because you walk in the word, because you're predestinated in the word or in him. And you cannot say, I am predestinated and I'm going to leave it alone, because if I'm predestinated to go the right way, I'll go the right way. If I'm predestinated to go the wrong way, I'll go the wrong way, because it don't teach it like that at all. It's by foreknowledge of what he saw you do in your lifetime, all of his works known unto him from the very beginning, and you're predestinated in Christ as unto righteousness. And so if you are the predestinated ones unto eternal life, it will be because you're walking in Christ or in the word. And that will cause you to be the predestinated of God unto eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Well, we could go on and go on and go on talking about these wonderful things. Songwriter said, let us go on talking about these things of God. And we could. Paul preached all night long. But in these things, I really hurried through tonight just to try to get out a few things. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Before that translation, he had this testimony: he pleased God. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And to do the things that please God assures the conscience to a confidence that he hears you. So in Christ, you have everything that you want, because it's already given to you in Christ, and it's yours just when you know he hears you. That is the confidence you must have, John said. And Jesus did always the things that pleased the Father. So then if you have faith in God, you do always the things that please the Father. You do the things that confident your heart, so that when you ask of him, you know that he hears you. You automatically know that you have the petition that you desire of him, because you please God. So then we see that the earth is full of his knowledge. The heavens declare his handiwork, and we should be growing every day in the wonderful grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the full measure of the full stature of the full reward. Going on, collectively speaking, to that full stature as the membership of the Lord Jesus, repenting of our sin, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, inasmuch as those that have been baptized in his name have put on Christ. This is what we're saying tonight, and faith is the thing that you've got to have. If you don't have faith in these words tonight, then you don't get it. If you don't understand what I'm saying, it's for sure that you cannot have faith. Someone would say, well, it doesn't matter whether you understand or not, as long as you believe. You cannot believe unless you understand. The Bible emphatically states the righteous will understand. If you do not understand, you are wicked. And if you do understand, then you can believe in what you understand, because you are righteous and you do have faith, and that faith and that word will translate you into the marvelous kingdom of God right now and give you eternal life right now and put you into heaven right now, and God will take care of everything right now. All right, let's stand together. I can still tell with all of this that we have great reverence tonight. Though you're listening and you're enjoying the Word and you're very concerned to that extent, I can still say that you're not activated the way that you should be with the Word of God. In the world, there's an illumination from grace as to the rain on the terror. And there is an activation, an inward activation from God of the great, wonderful spiritual power of God that quickens us unto life. This belongs to us as children of God. So inwardly, God is dealing with us as in the Spirit. Outwardly, He is dealing with those as the tares, as to an illumination by the blood on the seat of atonement. And you are illuminated, but with this, you're also filled with lust. Your nature is to lust after the flesh and images, and lust after one another, and to lust after passions, and lust after the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, all of these kind of things. You're caught in a web. You're a bond child to the human senses. But you that have God, you are a child of love, a child of faith, a child of purity of heart. You do not lust. Charity thinketh no evil. Never does charity think evil. It is the bond of perfectness, or the bond of perfection. So tonight, this is what it's all about. The Bible said, let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection. Not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance of dead works, but on to perfection. There is a perfectness in God. And as long as you're just doing wrong and stumbling and staggering out of a willing allowance, then you are laying the foundation of repentance over and over. And there is a danger in that, because you can come to the place where the Bible said you come to the knowledge of the truth. And once you come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Only the fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. Which means that when you come to the knowledge of the truth, if you sin willingly or willfully, allow for your wrong as to the convenience of your thoughts of carnality, then that means that you're cut off. Calvary doesn't atone for you anymore, for his sacrifice of blood is not for a willing allowance. If you stumble, you stagger. When you're doing your very best, then you don't have to worry, because Jesus took care of it at Calvary, and not one thing is charged against you. We had over the telephone last night and talking to a couple of young fellas. Both of them gave their heart to God. Communicating with them, they broke down on the other end of the telephone and they wept. And they gloriously give their heart to God. And then we've had some here in the meeting that have been backslid, as the world says, away from God. They renewed their vows. They come back to God out of town from other places. And we have some here that are young people that have never given their heart to God out of all the administration of the gospel here. And then during this meeting, they gave their heart to God. And so then the Lord is blessed through the camp meeting. There's been a lot of people that's been stirred. Numbers of people have been stirred. And I've had people, some of our leading people have come to me and they said, Brother Pike, I've just kind of been straddling the fence. Said, but some things that were said the other night, said it shook me up so bad. Said, I realize I've got to get on the right side of things. And that's good. That's real good. As long as we're doing that, we're going on with God. God's doing something for us. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Can we?
On the wings of a snow white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love. It's a sign from above. On the wings of a dove, nor had drifted on the flood many days. He searched for land in various ways. Troubles he had some, but not from above. God sent him his love on the wings of a dove. Sing that with me. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love. It's a sign from above. On the wings of a dove. Sing it one more time now. On the wings of a snow white dove, God sends his pure, sweet love. It's a sign from above. On the wings of a dove.
So then, God sends his love on the wings of a dove. Some things happened in this camp meeting that it would take a few hours to go into to detail as to a present day application or revelation that had to do with these very, very things that we're speaking of. But anyway, you love the Lord, I love the Lord, and we're here tonight to try to worship the Lord a little bit in spirit and in truth. And while we sing a chorus or two, then we're going to give you a chance to come to the altar. Always there's people that would love to come to God, and always there's people that would like to renew their vows in Christ. So they come, some because they need healing. And a lot of times people are healed. We've had some real good reports as of late. We always have good reports coming from the foreign country, or coming out of our crusades, or coming from the meetings, or coming from the church, or from the local areas around here of healings and deliverance. Always there's letters coming in. And something comes to my mind tonight. A sister, we got a sister here. I believe it was her son and maybe the wife or something that was involved in this. And it was a foot or a leg that they'd ask us to pray for. We went to God and prayed because they were going to take it off. And according to the report, if I have this right, when the doctor came in, he said that he had been disturbed all night because he was going to have to take the leg off. And no circulation. We prayed and I said, Lord, please put circulation in that leg and spare that leg and foot. And I felt like the person was just too young to be losing their leg and foot, you know. They don't need to lose them anyway. But I prayed for God to do that. And they said that the doctor came back in and said, something has happened. Said it's showing better signs. And when he examined it, I understand that he said that there is blood that's flowing through these veins. It's not been flowing through them before. And now that he told the young lady that what she needed to do was find her a church and go to church. I believe he said, sit on the front row and show the people your feet and let them know what God did. Said, because we didn't do it. So then God is still doing some wonderful things. We had another wonderful thing that happened. We got a report that one of the girls of the Carolinas had had a heart attack and it injured her heart. She'd had one before we'd prayed and the Lord had delivered her from it. She'd had one this time, and this time it injured her heart and it was disturbed about it, and that she could have died from it. And we was talking to a relative and told him that it was just God trying to get her attention. He was trying to get her attention. He let me know that. And that if she would just turn around and turn her heart toward God, that he'd just completely just wipe the thing away and everything would be all right. So we all got together and prayed, I and the brethren. And when we prayed, I felt like God done the job. So the next day we got the report, said she was doing real fine, talking to her husband, said he's looking for a church. Somebody say hallelujah. So then God is still moving by spirit. All of these things are happening, one thing right after another. Many, many things are happening continually. Things that I never mentioned to you. I never say anything about a lot of things that come through letters. And some of them are outstanding things that are happening. But nevertheless, my interest in you is to bring you to the translation. And my interest in you is to bring you to God. And you should be having the faith to go on with the Lord, to believe for your healing and whatever, and stand up for the things of God and be a testimony to others. And you should be believing God as to be a light to them that are around you, that you might be parents in the Lord, for people are speaking of your faith throughout the entire world. And they're writing continually, talking about the wonderful blessings and healings of God that's coming through the literature and through the testimony and through whatever we're doing as to world evangelism, many of them by radio, they receive healing and they receive blessings. So then you should already be there, and you should be interested in getting into the Word to where you can be translated and make this change that's called the rapture. All right, let's sing another little chorus or two together. While we're singing, let's worship the Lord. The altars are open. Take a few minutes here to see just how you feel about God and see what you want to do with Him. As Pilate said, what will you do with Him? And see what you'd like to do with Him tonight. He's standing before you tonight, and you can do with Him whatever you want to do with Him. And we give an opportunity to do with Him whatever you want to. There is Barabbas. He also stands before you. And you have a chance to do with Barabbas whatever you want to do. See, and they, in that day, said, crucify Christ. Loose Barabbas. And remember that that's what you're saying. Someone would say, well, I can conceive of this about Christ, but where is Barabbas? Barabbas is you. Barabbas is that with the poison of asp under his lips and deceit in his tongue and the corrupt man. He is the murderer, the liar, the cheat, the robber. He is self. He is that one that crucified the Lord Jesus. He is the one that wants preeminence. He is the one that wants to eat and drink and lounge around. He is the one that you want to go free. He is the one that you love and you care for. So then one of them has to go to the cross. Either the spiritual man Christ is on the inside, that as to life has to be crucified, or this as to the outer man has to be crucified. One of them must die. The veil must be rent in twain. And it's like the separation of Siamese twins. One must die because it is a parasite. If the parasite continues to live, then the other one that is not a parasite must die. So it's up to you to determine by the word which is the parasite, and it's up to you as to which one you want to die. If you want to die as that image of your face and that thing that you esteem so as corruption, then you can, because it is the parasite. And if you don't want to, then you can let Barabbas go free, and you can crucify Christ. Crucify Him and put Him to an open shame. Crucify Him afresh and put Him to an open shame. You can do that. You can do that. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah in the well you often sing. There are many, many others through the Bible. I would like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by we will surely, surely meet them at that meeting up in the air. Sing with me now. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you, want to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortals ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. While we're singing these songs, I want you to open up your heart tonight. Many things will there be missing at the meeting, for the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner hath refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over wayward loved ones, lonely nights there in prayer.
All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting up in the air. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortals ear, will be glorious, I do declare. And God's only Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes tonight. I know that you're tired tonight, but I can tell you're not getting into the spirit of worship tonight. And it's because you haven't had your mind on the Lord today. You haven't had your mind on the Lord. You've had your mind in the natural. Coming to church tonight, not having your mind on the Lord, then you're real carnal. But folks, you're not going to make the translation like that. There's going to have to be an exuberance. There's going to have to be a breaking of the yoke. There's going to have to be a spiritual thing that will draw you out to God. And you're going to have to really praise God. And you're going to have to love God. And you're going to have to die in the flesh and get rid of that intellectual you. And get rid of that thing that is called Barabbas. And let the Lord Jesus come forth. You're going to have to do that. While you've got your hands up, while you've got your eyes closed, tonight I brought you the word of the Lord. I told you what it takes. Don't forget, these meetings are bringing a climax. You've been in a lot of meetings in your life, and of course, this is just another meeting. I'm just another preacher. This is just another tent. This is just another gathering. As to the natural, as to what anybody might say, there is not one bit of difference. But I want to inform you tonight, there is all the world of difference. This is the final climax. This is the final thing. And when this comes, there won't be anything else. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, there'll be something else. No. When the cattle graze of your great big revivals, that's all right. They just eat the top of the grass. But when the sheep come along, they pull up the roots. And this has always been the battle between the cattlemen and the sheepmen. For when the cattle graze, they can go back next year and graze again. But the Bible said when the sheep come, behind them will be like a desert. For they pull up the roots. When you speak of pulling up the roots, you're talking about getting the revelation. You're talking about getting the mysteries. You're talking about getting down into the deep things. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Let down your net for a drop. And the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And so then we're bringing the deep things. And though you might not see it and you might not get it, that don't mean they're not coming forth. The Bible said that you'll not see when this good comes. And it's not given to you to know the mysteries. And the Bible said you're blinded by that darkness on the inside and you'll never see this light. You'll never see when this light comes. It's only a few, just a little flock, because you're intellectual and all of your ego is for church and just coming in the natural and being natural. Nothing on the inside to stimulate, to stir you, to make you hungry, or to make you see the real things of God. So that means that you don't get it. It means that you don't get it. Preachers are here. They don't get it. Folks are here that's supposed to be devout people. They don't get it. But the elect does get it. The elect, the few that he spoke of that would be translated, they do get it. They do get it. So tonight, while we're coming together as a people to worship, then you better get in the Spirit. God is the Spirit. You worship God in spirit. And you'd better get into the Spirit. You better get out of the carnality. That carnal mind is enmity with God. It don't matter how religious you are, how much you sing, clap your hands, whatever you say. It doesn't make any difference. It's got to be Christ speaking as in the mysteries of God. It's got to be the deep spiritual things on the inside that you're bringing to surface. And you've got to bring this out and make it manifest in your mortal genes to overpower this body, to bring it into subjection. Lest after you go through all of this thing, of playing music, of shouting, of singing, preaching, whatever it might be,
It doesn't mean a thing. It's just the rain on the just and the unjust. But tonight, while we're here and we're singing these little courses, you've got a chance to get into the things of God. You've got a chance to let these things settle down in your heart. But you remember what I'm telling you. Once the sheep go over, they get the roots. There won't be any more messages. There'll be a lot of preachers. There'll be a lot of movings of preaching throughout the land. And they'll be blowing you down and doing all kinds of things. And they'll be gathering you around, all kind of denominations coming together, all kind of people coming together, thousands of people, and even the more so as the time approaches, the crowds will grow, the enthusiasm will grow, the societies will grow. You will abound in many, many things to only find out it was the bundles of tares that was coming together to be cast into the fire. That's all it is. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. I know you don't. It's because of unbelief. But it's absolutely the truth. It will work exactly that way. And the few will be closed in. They will be shut in. They will be sealed in with the mystery of God. Because it is a spiritual thing and it's not even given to the world to see it. It will come and shine in their midst. This light will shine in the midst of your intellectual reasoning and you'll never see it. As Brother Branham said one time, it'll pass right through the church world and they'll never see it. All the tables are full of vomit, of lukewarmness. They don't incorporate these things in their lifestyle. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't fast. They don't seek God. They don't go after these things. And some of them that does go into fasting or try to pray or study the Bible, it's just deliverance, deliverance. They want to lay hands on somebody. They want to be out front. They want to have a great tent meeting. They want to get a crowd. They want to draw a lot of money. They want to be on television. It's still a lot of childishness even mixed up with that. And with the charismatic thing. But in the midst of it, there is a truth. In the midst of it, there is a people, a little flock that's getting ready to go to be with God. And folks, the way you go to be with God is not at all according to your carnal reasoning. To go into the kingdom is not at all according to your natural surveillance. According to the Bible, getting into the kingdom of God and getting into heaven has nothing to do with what you're thinking. Everything that you think is natural and carnal. Everything that you try to reason out in your mind is natural and carnal. And you never get anything out of seminary. You never get anything out of church worship. You never get anything out of anything in your natural mind. This has to be revealed to you. It's strictly Christ revealing it to you. He's reserved this one thing to himself. For God has given unto him the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the only way that Paul had it was that Paul was Christ. He died in the natural through suffering, and he said, it's not me living but Christ, the life I now live in my flesh. It is the Son of God. And unless you can come that way, then you can't be that bride, and you can't have this wonderful revelation until you deny yourself and take on a mind to suffer as to self-denial to get rid of your natural image, which is the bastard child image, that they might live in your place the wonderful image of Christ, which is the apple of God's eye. And folks, this is terrible and it is sad, but even at Bethlehem, the greater part of the people are in this bad condition that I'm speaking of. I'm talking about our ministers that are here. I'm talking about our laity that is here. And around the world and in the church world, it is so bad until it would be a great thing if you could find five people out of a million that's really coming in. It's going to be a little flock. So if you want to be part of it, you need to come on in. It's not that you can't be blessed. It's not that children of God won't have a part if they're bathed in Christ. But it is that those that have time and have had time to grow in the grace and knowledge, those that have not grown in the grace of knowledge and knowledge of Christ, they're cut off. They've religiously cut themselves off. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, 3 million people was cut off. They were taken out of Egypt. They went through the wilderness. They had the word taught to them. They've done everything as to keeping the ritualistics and keeping the commandments of God to the best of their ability. They thought, and not any of them except Caleb and Joshua went into Canaan. God cut off every last one of them and raised up the children that he could count innocent to the extent there wasn't that much required of them and took them right on into Canaan. So if you're going to have the garlic onions, you're going to look back in Egypt, you're going to be in the carnal mind, that means that you're bound to be lost and you won't make the translation. You will go through the tribulation. And the Bible emphatically tells us to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. For they will gnaw their tongues for pain, and darkness will fill their hearts and their lives and fill this world, and even death will be lifted to where they can't even have the relief from the pain by dying. All right, let's sing another little chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. Just lift your hands up and close your eyes tonight. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul, precious Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Singing with me now. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. And I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Let's sing this now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he hath come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus sin to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice. And don't turn him away. While you're standing with your hands up and your eyes closed, turn him. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. See if you're in the faith. Faith by the hearing of the Word of God. See if there's an activation. See if there's a stimulation. See if there's anything moving in your heart. See if there's a quickening. God is a spirit. He is the quickening. If he be in you, the Bible said God shall also quicken your mortal body by the spirit that dwelleth within you. If there's no quickening in your body, then there's no Jesus in your body. And the quickening is what raised Jesus from the dead. And we that are born again are quickening spirits. And we pass from death unto life. And we're not living souls. We pass from the soulish realm so that we cannot sin. For the soul can sin and die. But we pass to the quickening spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And in the spirit, we have been translated into the kingdom of God. And we are quickening spirits. And we cannot die because we are equal to the angels and we dwell in heaven. And you don't act like you're dwelling in heaven. You don't act like you're dwelling in heaven. If you're really dwelling in heaven tonight, then there should be a joy. There should be a jubilance. There should be a praise. The Bible says to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Do you realize that though we apply that to the fact that you come into the church with praises, that's not all there is to that. When it says enter into His gates, it means that you cannot enter into the spiritual world of the spiritual gates of God or get into the wonderful courts of God without the praise of God from the deep embedded thoughts of your heart. You cannot get into the spiritual world except through praises. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And this is what God is looking for. So tonight, would you lift up those hands? God being a spirit, worship God in spirit. Many people touched Jesus as He walked along the ways of Galilee or down through Jerusalem. And many people went away without anything at all. But a little woman that came by that had an issue of blood got close enough to Him by faith in God and having a stimulation of the quickening of God. She got close to Him. And having a deep embedded desire to believe in Christ and that quickening, she touched the hem of His garment saying, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I know that I'll be made whole. And though when Jesus inquired as to who touched me, they said, many people are touching you. He said, but this one touch, there was a touch that touched the God of heaven inside of that human body. And with that, there flowed out virtue, a stream of quickening. And the Bible said virtue went out of His body and healed all of them that were sick. For the Bible said God was with Him. And Jesus said, it is not I as to the body that's doing this, but it is God within me. It is the Father within me. He doeth the works. And the wonderful virtue of God flowed through that body because Jesus had conquered that body and He had done away with that body and done away with the natural mind and done away with all that pertained to the flesh and would not give the flesh one chance in life so that He could dispense this wonderful virtue of the living God, of the spiritual angelic being on the inside. Have you put down the flesh tonight? Are you spiritual on the inside tonight? Are you walking over the flesh? Are you putting the old serpent's head of your intellectual reasoning down and the lust and covetousness of your five human senses? Are you putting it down tonight? Are you being lifted up into the Spirit? Are you being translated into the Spirit in the kingdom of God? Are you fellowshipping angels? Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe that you are in the right place tonight? Do you believe that you're dwelling in heaven? If you do, why aren't you spiritual tonight? Why don't you have some praise tonight? Why isn't there praise coming from your heart tonight? Why aren't you crying out to God tonight? Where is the praise tonight? I don't hear it tonight. I don't hear it tonight. Where is the praise tonight that's supposed to be coming from your innermost being tonight? Where is that that's coming from the deep parts of your heart tonight that's crying out to God tonight? Folks, lift up your hands and praise God tonight. We're not here at the funeral home. We're not here making believe. We're not going through something here of a make-believe or some kind of a foolishness here. We're here to praise God tonight, to give God praise for the word of spirit and the word of life. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is here tonight. God is here tonight. Do you believe that God is here tonight? You don't make no more fuss over God than man. You don't get beside yourself tonight. If the president was coming tonight, they'd be screaming and hollering with flags that the Bulldogs was playing. They'd be waving their flags and being playing their bands and all this kind of thing. And what are you doing when God Almighty is here tonight? What are you doing when the angels are here tonight? Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? Jesus said, when they awoke, they saw His glory. Can you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, wake up, musicians, wake up here. Wake up. You're not even awake tonight that's on the platform, and you're not awake in the audience tonight, and you're just drifting around in carnality tonight. Folks, lift your hands up. There's people dying and going to hell. Jesus prayed till His sweat become His drops of blood, great drops of blood. There's people that cry out all night long praying that God will spare and that people won't die and go to hell. Where's your concern tonight? The Bible said you're to make intercession praying that God will grant repentance to them that are without, that they may come and see your light, and that this light might draw them out of the darkness of the intellectual reasoning, that they might come out of the graves of death. I told you when those graves come out of the ground, it had to do with the resurrection and the life. The first graves that was opened, the first toppings that come up. As far as we know, it was popping up around Macon, Georgia. The place that I was in the vision when I went over the graves and screamed out, come out of the graves. Somebody says, Brother Pike, do you believe you're going to go over the graves and call them out and call them out tonight? You're dead in trespasses and sin tonight. Come out of the graves. Come out of the graves. Come out of the graves tonight. Get rid of the grave cloth tonight. And come out of the graves tonight. Else you be dead while you're living. Resurrection and the life. You're the children of the resurrection tonight. I don't mean to scream at you and get so exuberant. But the thing is, we need to wake up, folks. We need to wake up. I teach you a little bit, Paul, and I'm a preacher and a teacher. I try to teach you. I don't preach to you a lot because I try to go out to preach to the people in the world. But the thing is, if we have to, we have to. You need to wake up. You need to get stimulation. Stimulated. Where's the activation of that wonderful word of God tonight? This word is spirit, it's life. Lift those hands up and let's love the Lord tonight. Can you do that? Let's praise Him tonight. Hallelujah. 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 While we're standing here praising God tonight, let's examine ourselves and see if we believe this word. See if we're interested in this word. See if we're going to change our lifestyle. See if we're going to change around. See if we're going to come out of the world. Come out of the world, He said. Come out of the world. You don't look for the living among the dead. Come out of the world. It's time to come out of the world. Somebody says, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, come out of the world. Somebody says, but I'm out of the world. No, you're not out of the world. Come out of the world. Get away from their lifestyle. Get away from those people. Get away from those things. Come on out of the world. Quit trying to get businesses and be some executive and be something out of the world. Get away from that. That's foolishness. That's natural. That's carnality. Get away from that. You're supposed to be publishing the gospel. You're supposed to be preaching the gospel. You're supposed to sell everything that you've got and give to the poor. And lift your treasures in heaven because you got a better substance. And you're supposed to get away from those kind of things. Quit trying to get new cars and new homes and have bank accounts and have good jobs and please your employer and all these kind of things. Stop your foolishness, folks. The end of the world is here. And God is calling you. He wants you to come out of the graves. Come out of the world. Wake up and get away from that mind. You got the wrong idea. You got the wrong mind. You got the wrong thing going. If it sounds like I'm hollering at you, you just have to pray for me. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people of their sins. Something is happening. I'm ready to go and let you go. But I still feel like I should tarry a minute or two tonight. Something is happening. God is wanting you to wake up. And those hands lifted up, the eyes closed tonight. Examine those bodies. Examine those bodies. Examine those spirits. Examine those hearts. Examine those motives tonight. See where you're at. Find out where you've been, where you're at, where you're going. See, know what's going on. Close your eyes and lift those hands up tonight and search those hearts. See if you're anchored in the faith of the hearing of the word. You heard the word tonight. Did you pay any attention to the word? Did you understand the word tonight? Do you believe the word tonight? Why then aren't we praising God? The word is God. God has come to you. 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 God, somebody says, well, where's God? God's here tonight. I don't see God. That's because you're blind. You're blind. The Bible said, if the blind lead the blind, they all fall into the ditch. The Pharisees was blind. The scribes was blind. But folks, we're not blind tonight. Somebody say hallelujah. I said, we're not blind tonight. We're not the blind leading the blind. We're children of light tonight. We know who we are. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. And we know what we're talking about tonight. See, and if you're followers of the word, then you're going to follow that word. Somebody's waiting out yonder to see your light. The whole world will come to the shining of your light. The world is waiting for you tonight. Can you express yourself tonight to the world? Can they see your good works to glorify your Father in heaven? Folks, let's be honest. You're eating yourself to death. You're eating yourself to death. You're drinking yourself to death. You're frolicking yourself to death. You're going after the things of the world and you don't stop. It's full force ahead. All you want is to eat, drink, work, make money, have businesses. All you want to do is sit on the television. You want to read magazines. All you want to do is frolic in the world. Somebody says, don't holler, Brother Pike. But glory to God, I'm hollering anyway. hollering anyway. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But the Bible said, make a loud noise unto God and lift up your voice like a trumpet. We need to be praising God tonight. We need to be loving God tonight. These are holy grounds right here. This little tent is a holy tent. It was dedicated to God. Your body is holy bodies. Your mind is holy mind. You are they that dwell in heaven. If you dwell in heaven, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. The angels rejoice and have a jubilee over one soul coming to repentance. And you've had a number of them to come to repentance during this meeting. It's your life tonight. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. So that it's your life tonight. God's trying to get you to praise Him tonight. He's trying to get you to worship Him tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Ladies, why don't you come to life over here? You ladies, why don't you come to life? Somebody says, am I supposed to praise God? The Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise God. You need to lift up those hands and holler out to God and praise God tonight. The other morning when I got up, I walked outside. And when I walked outside, I heard the little birds praising God. It was for daylight. The Bible said He goes to wake the dome. And you'll find the drops of the night in His lock, Solomon said. And you go out there and the little birds is chanting like chipmunk. And they're just praising God because they got breath. Somebody praise God. Hallelujah. Praising God tonight. Because this is what God wants us to do. Can you lift your hands up and praise Him tonight? As I go my way, can you lift your hands up and praise God tonight? Can you thank God for what He's doing tonight? Can you do that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Let's sing this little chorus. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. I can hear you tonight, sisters. Lift your voice now. I can hear you. Just did. Hallelujah. 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 Musicians, get into what you're playing tonight. Get into the Spirit of God tonight. Worship God tonight. Wake up tonight. Wake up tonight. Wake up tonight. Wake up. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw His glory. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Lift those hands and close your eyes.